Rich Kimble here, and on the telephone line, our friend Kyle Draper of NBC Sports Boston. Kyle, good afternoon.
What's up, Rich? How are you today, man?
Well, I'm doing okay, given the state of the world. And we can always talk sports, but you and Sherrod and Kendrick Perkins were so powerful and so eloquent the other night on NBC Sports Boston, talking about racism in America. And I wanted to take off from there a little bit and talk about that and some of the things that you had to say.
Yeah, Rich, you know, this is a critical time right now, I think, in our society. We have the opportunity to no doubt come out of this a stronger country. And, you know, what we were talking about the other day in a story I wrote on NBCSportsBoston.com is, you know, I need people to understand the frustration that African-Americans feel in this country. You know, I was talking to somebody and they mentioned it's really two different Americas that we're seeing, that people are living in right now. And so I need people to understand and feel the pain and frustration of, you know, 400 years of oppression. And although it's different than, you know, what it was in our mother and father's days and grandparents' days, the systemic oppression that's still going on, I think is something that we need to address. And so one thing that I'm asking all people to do is just hold people accountable, whether it's your coworkers, whether it's your bosses, whether it's your elected officials. You know, if we truly talk about equality, I think we have to practice it in our everyday lives.
And the part that was especially heartbreaking for me, because my son is similar to the age of yours, is the conversation you had to have with your children.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, my son is 10, my daughter's 8. And, you know, I'll tell you, it's a conversation all African-American parents have to have with their children. And you hate to say that, but, you know, even as a grown man, you know, I'm very friendly with a lot of cops. But for instance, there was one time, you know, not too long ago, late at night, driving home from work, and I got pulled over, and I felt the need to call my wife and make sure she was on the phone during this traffic stop. And, you know, that's something that, you know, we just shouldn't have to feel and go through in the United States. And so one thing I talk to my kids about is, you know, there are going to be good people and bad people no matter what. There are going to be some people that judge you for the color of your skin. And one thing I always want you to remember is to treat others how you want to be treated. You know, part of the video of George Floyd being murdered, I showed them some of the protests and the rioting and the clashes with police, because it's not all sunshine and rainbows out there. It's serious out here. And I think we need to have an honest and frank discussion about what's going on out here.
And in the job you're in, working in the public eye, there are additional factors there, and the response that people have to you when they see you, but also on social media, where the worst people seem to muster the greatest amount of fake courage.
Yeah, I actually had to delete Twitter just for 24 hours, man. I had to get off social media because it's kind of depressing, you know. It's the thing that bothers me the most is, you know, everything is so radical. You know, there's no middle ground anymore. There's no room for understanding, for empathy. And, you know, and I'll be honest, too, you know, I would imagine, you know, some of the people coming at me on Twitter are fake accounts. So I had a discussion with a friend just a short time ago before I hopped on, because he had posted something. And, you know, I had to tell him, you know, make sure what you're posting is actually accurate and true. And because there's a lot of, you know, misinformation out there. There's a lot of information out there that's meant to divide us. And so, you know, whether it's Fox, CNN, MSNBC, whatever it is, you know, you have to do your own research also and make your own best educated mind, you know, to determine what's really going on out here, because it's tough. I feel like everything is being meant to divide us right now, and instead of trying to bring us together.
We're talking with Kyle Draper here on Downtown. And look, as a white guy living in the whitest state in America, I was naive enough to think, back when Barack Obama was elected, that we had made some progress in this country. And I'm old enough to remember watching and seeing as an impressionable kid the civil rights movement of the 1960s and how that developed. And I guess I I foolishly thought that we were in a place we weren't in America. So how can people like me, how can we help? What can we do to be the best allies?
Well, you know, like I said before, hold people accountable, Rich, and I tell this to your listeners. You know, if a police officer, you know, isn't preaching equality and standing for, you know, equal rights and justice for all, call them out on it. If an elected official isn't doing the same, you know, get to the ballot box and vote them out. I mean, I just think, you know, we can't, in the United States, what matters most is money. And if you take away a person's, you know, money, maybe that will get the message through if you hold them accountable. And so that's what I think is most important. You know, with that episode with George Floyd, if those police officers would have been arrested immediately, we might not even be having this conversation right now. And so I just feel like we have to hold everyone accountable for, you know, preaching equality and just, you know, really doing right from wrong. To me, that's what it really boils down to.
We have a tendency to have a short attention span here in America. And I also think it's vital that this doesn't become the thing of the week, the thing of the moment, and then we're on to something else. And we think because a few people posted on their Facebook that Black Lives Matter, that everything's better. This is just the beginning of a dialogue, and it's going to take a long, long time for us to even begin to make things right.
Yeah, and that's what I'm afraid of, right? We've seen, you know, incidents happen before, and then 2 weeks later, we're right back to our normal lives. I think it's up to everyone to make sure, you know, that the people that have been lost, lives lost to police brutality and discrimination and racism, sexism, whatever it is in this world, their deaths aren't in vain. And so, you know, one of the things I'd like to see going forward is, you know, maybe a civilian review board for, you know, in each state that really takes a look at, you know, incidents between, you know, police officers and minorities. Also, I'd like to see, you know, monthly training being done, sensitivity training, equality training for officers, you know, throughout the country as well. And so, you know, we have the protest now, but what comes after that? That's the big question, right? Hopefully we'll have some meaningful change after this.
I sure hope so. Well, on to the relatively insignificant world of sports. It looks like the NBA is closing in on something here with 22 teams getting together, starting games on the 31st. Can this plan work?
I think so, you know, and I think it'll work. Obviously, the virus is what's going to determine everything, you know, and how, you know, much more this pandemic goes on. But, you know, I'm encouraged that the players and the coaches and the league, they all, you know, want the game to return. It seems like the NBA has really, you know, invested a lot of time and resources into figuring out what's best. You know, I was talking to Shemi Ojale about this earlier today, and he's all set. He's excited to get back. And so it'll be interesting to see, you know, if someone tests positive, what are you going to do with, you know, a couple of players on one team? And so I think the NBA's hearts and minds are in the right place, but ultimately this virus will dictate, you know, whether this, you know, plan succeeds or not.
Finally, well, back to where we started, I was really impressed with a powerful statement today from Boston Bruin Patrice Bergeron.
Yeah, and that's what I'm talking about. You know, this isn't a black issue. This isn't a white issue. This is a human rights issue. This is an everyone issue. And, you know, this is not just, you know, for black people to speak up. And you know, we need our, you know, our Caucasian brothers and sisters to be part of this fight also. And, you know, somebody, Patrice Bergeron's stature, you know, one of the best players in National Hockey, you know, one of the biggest followings out there. It means a lot. And, you know, I think you're seeing it, you know, in the NFL and NBA and, you know, all around sports, you know, not just African-American athletes, but other athletes speaking up for what's right. And like I said, it's not black or white. It's right or wrong.
Well said. Kyle, thank you so much. As always, hope your week goes well. We look forward to talking with you again next Wednesday.
All right, Rich, looking forward to it, man.
Thank you, Kyle. Kyle Draper with us on Downtown.